It's time to feel better with help from Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Allergies, nutrition, ultimate wellness, all discussed right here, right now. It's Wellness for Life Radio on Radio MD. Here's your host, Dr. Suzanne.
May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, which is right around the corner with warm weather finally approaching and many additional hours spent in the sun. Now, we want to know some information about sun care. We have today a nationally respected award-winning board certified plastic surgeon who is also the director of the Parker Center for Plastic Surgery in Paramus, New Jersey. And here today to discuss skin cancer and sun damage, welcome Dr. Parker to Wellness for Life Radio. Thank you, Dr. Parker. So first, exactly how does sun cause skin cancer? You know, if you can share a little bit about what is the triggering mechanism. And then number two, is it the only root cause of skin cancer, or is there something other factors?
Yeah. Well, sun is tough on the skin because it damages the cells underneath the skin. And acutely, that can cause problems like a sunburn, redness of the skin. Longer term, though, it can go on to make the skin look dry, wrinkled, discolored, leathery, and promote skin cancers. So it really is probably the key factor in terms of patients getting damaged skin and skin cancers. Other things, such as genetics, environmental factors, smoking, can be factors as well, but the sun is really a big problem for us in terms of skin cancer.
So number one factor is skin, but there's also other environmentals. How about things that you might be applying to your skin? You know, nowadays with aesthetic medicine, they apply all sorts of cosmetics, and a lot of them are all obviously, you know, mainly chemicals. Do you think that has promotes skin cancer as well?
Well, I'm not aware of studies that show those things promote skin cancer. I think perhaps, you know, there's so much controversy about many of these cosmeceuticals, but I think it maybe gives a sense of false hope to patients that they're doing some of these things which aren't necessarily clinically studied, and not doing things that are important in terms of staying out of the sun or protecting yourself from the sun.
Now, what do you think about, you know, we talk a lot about vitamin D now, making sure that we get enough sun so that we can make our own vitamin D in our skin. But of course, we want to prevent the harmful rays that cause the cancer. What's the happy medium? What can we do to get both?
Well, it's a good question. It's going to vary from patient to patient. You know, some people, because of their genetic background and the type of skin they have, fair skin, are more predisposed to skin cancer, and just have to be extremely diligent about staying out of the sun. Other people with darker skin types, different ethnicities and backgrounds, don't have to be quite as conscious and can think about that you know, a little more in terms of, let's say, vitamin D exposure. Measuring vitamin D levels is one thing, and certainly I think it's important for patients, particularly if there's any kind of history of skin cancer, to pay close attention to follow up with the dermatologist for ongoing serial examinations. This way, you know, the dermatologist can keep an eye on things, watch how moles in your skin behave over time, if they change, and those sorts of things. And that's really a very important thing in terms of that balance.
Yeah. You know, I'm an Asian descent. I'm Korean. So my skin is darker naturally, although I love being in the sun. And I found out just recently that my genetic pattern, actually, I cannot make vitamin D as well. So when I had my blood test done for that vitamin D testing, it was actually on the low end, although I'm out regularly outdoors. So how common is skin cancer? You know, because vitamin D, of course, is important, but also if I'm going to be exposed to it all the time, it can definitely trigger likelihood of skin cancer for me. So how common is it?
Yeah, unfortunately, one out of every five Americans will develop skin cancer in the course of their lifetime.
Wow.
Each year in the United States, nearly 5 million people are treated for skin cancer. So it's something that we unfortunately still see a lot of, despite the education that's ongoing.
Well, that's not good. I mean, obviously, it's part of it is because we're always outdoors, of course, but also maybe we're not putting on the right type of sunscreen. You know, I was curious if when it comes to the skin cancers, there's several different kinds. We are always afraid of the really bad one called melanoma, but what are the other cancers that are so common that a lot of us have to go to people like you, plastic surgeons and dermatologists, to get these things removed?
Yeah. Well, the most common one, you're absolutely right. Melanoma is a bad acronym. Melanoma can kill. The most common one that we see, unfortunately not nearly as aggressive as melanoma, is a basal cell carcinoma. That's one that we see quite a bit. That's the one that President Reagan had, and therefore a lot of people are familiar with that. The other one that is a little more aggressive than basal cell, but again, not as aggressive as melanoma, is squamous cell carcinoma.
So
And
those
those are
three
really
are the
more
ones,
common ones. Yeah, they are.
right? Well, you know, if you can please describe to our listeners to look out for basal cell or squamous, what, I mean, and of course melanoma as well. What are the main signs for us to look for?
Well, just like self-breast exam, self-skin exam is a good thing too. Ideally, if you look at a young baby, you look how good their skin looks. It's healthy. It's nice and smooth. There aren't any moles or contour irregularities. As we get older and we get more sun damage, we can start to get some moles, and we can start to see some red areas. Sometimes it can be confusing for laymen. Sometimes it can be confusing for dermatologists, even plastic surgeons, to differentiate a normal mole from something that's suspicious. And if we have those kind of suspicions as medical personnel, we can do a biopsy, and that'll tell us, because what happens is the dermatopathologist looks at what we biopsied under a microscope, and they'll come back and tell us with certainty, here's what it is, and we know for sure. But rather than biopsying everything, if patients look at themselves, in the mirror frequently, and they look for things that are changing, if they see a dermatologist on an ongoing basis, again, based on their personal history, their family history, maybe it's three or four times a year, maybe it's once a year, the dermatologist can keep a record of the different moles they have, and if something's changing, that then leads to having something like a biopsy done.
In your practice, your plastic surgery practice, what do you do to help individuals who've got sun damage, who've got irritations and wrinkles and sagging skin from sun damage? What do you provide in your practice?
Well, as in terms of if someone doesn't have a skin cancer and we're concerned about damage and aging of the skin, we'll put the patient on some products to try to help improve the health of the skin. We do laser treatments that are very helpful in terms of improving not only the appearance of the skin, but the health of the skin. And there's some new exciting lasers that have just come down the pike recently that we're very enthusiastic about.
So there are, you don't have to have any kind of like plastic surgery really. You can do non-invasive. I mean, laser is really non-invasive compared to like plastic surgery. That's excellent. Anything else that you can suggest besides that?
Well, I think that non-invasive things have a lot of appeal to patients, and this laser that we've gotten very excited about in recent months is called the Halo Hybrid Laser. And what's exciting about that is it doesn't require any kind of anesthesia. There's no recovery afterwards, and it can make patients' skin look so much better with no downtime. So they can get back to all their activities within a day after treatment, and their skin will look the tone will be improved, the texture improved, discoloration is greatly improved, fine lines improved, pore size decreased, and the skin just has a much healthier glow to it. In fact, it is healthier.
Oh, I love that. I love that there are options for us. Thanks so much for being here and giving us all these tips on how to take a look at your skin, prevent sun damage. And then, of course, you can always go to his website at parkercenter.net. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett sharing my natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.